Well, let us pray. Lord, let the words of my lips and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And we beseech you, Lord, whose way it is always to have mercy. Have mercy upon these people and bring forth goodness within them. In your name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, I want to start with three examples. Who here, there may not be a lot of people who have seen this. Who here has seen Office Space? Anybody? Okay. So, in Office Space, there's this part where the Jennifer Aniston character is at what the restaurant called Tchotchke's. The manager calls her aside and explains to her, you need to wear 18 pieces of flair, which are buttons up and down. And she goes, yeah, I've got 18 pieces of flair. And he goes, yes, but whatever the other waiter, he's got 30 pieces of flair. And she goes, so more flair then? And he kind of looks at her like, you're not getting what I'm trying to say here, are you? Which is, she doesn't have enthusiasm for her job. But also, 18 pieces of flair is the minimum, right? And so there's this whole conversation that happens where she's like, more flair then? So not more flair? And they seem not to be able to communicate. And so I want you to hold that example. And I'm going to give two more. When someone learns to play an instrument, let's say, I've heard a story, when you learn to play a violin, right, there's a certain way that you have to hold a violin to become great. And if you get trained wrong, if the holding of it is wrong, if your position is just a little off for years, you'll never make it. You'll never make it to be a great violin player. Once you've gotten to the point where that's what you've learned, that's your habit, you'll never be able to fix it to make it into the symphony or to be great. And in basketball, there's something like this. In basketball, if you have bad shooting form, if you're not taught how to shoot right, there's a point in your life that you get to, you can't fix it. You can try, but it's such a habit. You just go back to it. And so the thing, I'm doing this because I'm imagining, because it was always elbows in. Your elbow wants to go out, right? Your elbow wants to go out to shoot, and you see people shoot like this, but they're never going to shoot well because you have to line it up. Barn door. You have to line it up. And if you don't get taught that at a certain point, you can't fix it. It's the Tim Tebow effect. He never learned how to throw right, and now he's not going to make it in the NFL. And so I want to keep these images. And part of the problem for the people is the teachers. Like, someone didn't help them when they were young, right, to hold the violin right. Their teacher didn't say, your wrist is turned too much, turn it back in, when they were young. Someone didn't help the young person to fix their shooting form. Someone didn't instruct them. And so when it comes to God's instruction that he gives the people of Israel, that is the Ten Commandments we read, the laws he gives to the people, right? These are a grace from him to his people, an outward grace, saying, this is how I want you to live. This is how you will worship me. This is how you will interact with your neighbor. Who you will not worship. This is how you'll be my people. These are my instructions. If you do these, you'll be right. You'll be fine. And so there's a sense, you know, just here's the rules, follow the rules. You'll have that form. You'll hold the thing right. You'll have enough flair. And there's all this instruction, but with that, it's almost God knows his people, the people he has made. And he gives them a system to help them when they fail, right? This is the sacrificial system. This is where people would take animals and sacrifice them to God to become right with God. And it would be sacrificing their sins. They would take a valuable goat that they would need, and they would take it and give it to a high priest who would perform sacrifice. And that sacrifice was for their sins. The high priest, who is someone called from out of the people, from among the people by God, would first have to make a sacrifice for himself, because he's not any better, right? He's not any better. He has to do this. So it's a way out. It's a way to make things right. But with that sacrificial system, it doesn't cover everything. So they would make the sacrifice, but if they had no intention, if they were willfully in sin, if they had no intention of making the things that they do wrong right, God did not receive that sacrifice. It was sins of ignorance, sins of addiction, sins of those things of battle, the things they battled within themselves, that God received forgiveness for. But willful sin, God gave a patient waiting for, but he did not receive their he did not forgive them. And we see this in God's judgment on the people of Israel. The people of Israel were making sacrifices and then going off and worshiping other gods, making other sacrifices. They were oppressing the poor. There's a huge issue with the oppression of the poor that God is not going to accept. This lack of love of God and commitment to him, and a lack of love of your neighbor and commitment to them, went on for a very long time, and God hit a limit. Basically, what is the cup of God's wrath was filled, and now it will be poured out. And the people of Israel fell. And they were conquered. God's protection was pulled from them, and they were taken to Babylon into exile. From there, and that's where we encounter this Jeremiah text, is that they're going into exile. God has already told them, the prophets, he has sent the prophets, another way that he showed grace and mercy, is that he warned them. He told them, this is what's going to happen if you didn't change, if you didn't stop oppressing my people, if you did not stop worshiping false gods, and many other things that they did. I will withdraw from you, and there will be an enemy that will come up and they will destroy you. And that was Babylon. Babylon destroyed everybody. It wasn't just Israel. They got everybody. They conquered the whole Middle East. And so in the Jeremiah text, though, this in 31 is a promise of what is to come. Because even in all of that, God will not let his people go. He will not abandon them. He will not leave them. And so he offers them in 31 the opportunity for a new covenant. He says, I loved you like you were my wife. I loved you. And there's a lot of accusation here. And you are an adulterous whore. That's basically what's going on here. Habakkuk, you can go through it. There's this accusation. You have cheated on me over and over and over again. And I have loved you and loved you and loved you and loved you. And even though you have done that, and even though I have taught you, I've sent prophets to you, I've given you my law, and I am offering you another chance. I will bring you back. Because I will not let you go. I will not forget you. I will not forget the covenant I made to you. See, with Abraham, God made a covenant that Abraham's people would be his people forever. And in that covenant, they took a goat. This is going to be gross, guys. They took a goat, they cut it in half, spread its entrails on the ground. This is how a covenant's made. In Africa, this still happens. When two tribes are making peace with each other, the chiefs take their hands and walk through the entrails together, saying, if I break the covenant, so be this. This is me. Basically. It gives a different concept of the marriage covenant, doesn't it? but in this one, when they spread the entrails, only the Spirit of God passes through alone, saying, If I break this covenant, so be me, this to be. If you break this covenant, so be this to me. Basically. I'll take both sides. And that's what's happening. And he's promising that I will bring you in, you will be my people, and I will write the law, that the external grace, into your hearts. It will no longer be a set of rules that you need to follow, but something I put in you. In all people. I will put it in their hearts. And so when we get to Hebrews, and Hebrews is one of the hardest books to read, and my sales pitch, one of the most important books to read, because it interprets the meaning of Christ in the context of the Old Testament. And it is saying, right here, the high priest, who was not perfect, and this is an important part of the scripture, that Moses, Abraham, David, all these great people who were faithful and followed God, did not follow God in perfection unto death. They did not stay faithful. And that's important. And the high priest had to make a sacrifice for himself, because he could not stay faithful. But Christ, who is our great high priest, he is our great high priest, comes to this world. He comes to this world. He is the one who follows God in obedience, who does the will of his Father completely. He is the one who suffers intensely, and he passes through the crucible of blood and betrayal, and never, ever loses faith, never, ever ceases to pray, never, ever loses track of the will of his Father and what God wants for him. And he does it all for us. Right? And so he sacrifices himself upon the cross once and for all, ending the need for sacrifice. His blood for our blood. His grace for our grace. His suffering for us. His obedience for us. You see how this works? And now we get to the new covenant, the new blood that is on the cross, that is the bond between humanity and God. He stretches wide his arms upon the cross. With love stronger than death, he folds us in to himself, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? And the Holy Spirit is at work in all the world. And what does it do? It writes the law in our hearts. It says to us, it breathes to us, Christ first. The Christ is the Son of God who has rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit attests to it in us, brings us to Christ, and gives us a new heart for Christ. And the new law of the new covenant is to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, which he has done and he gives to us, so that we are already, through faith in Christ, already made holy. Hear that. We are already made holy because he has done it all. But now the Spirit works in us to live into that, which is a whole other step. So it's not about salvation. It's about love. And what is it about? That God forms in us an ability to love him more than we love the world. That's the hardest thing because we are so attached. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who loses his life will gain everything. Right? And so he forms a new heart in us. Transforming our desires. Transforming our loves. Refreshing us and challenging us. Because part of loving God more than the world is to be pulled out of the world and to sacrifice things that we don't want to sacrifice. Time, money, relationships, goals. The Bible, which is where we learn, where the Holy Spirit speaks to us. See, through Scripture, we are formed. We pray the Scriptures, we are shaped. We read the Scriptures, we are shaped. We hear the Scriptures, we are shaped. We worship through the Scriptures, we are formed. We eat the visible bread and drink the wine of His Scripture, of His Gospel. God communicates the Spirit into us, transforming us, and that Scripture is challenging. It will call you into things. If you won't read Scripture and you don't feel challenged, read better. You know, it calls us into a life. And God forms us and calls us, and this is where that collect, the collect, the prayer we said, we beseech you, God, whose way it is always to have mercy. We beseech is stronger than we ask, right? It's almost a whole body, God, whose way it is to have mercy on us, who we know your way. We've seen the pattern through Scripture is to have mercy on us. Bring forth goodness in us. Bring forth love in us. Transform us. We, the children of the new covenant, we who are joined to you through your blood, make us new. And that's what God does for us. And the way to it is through the Word of God. It is through the Gospel. It's through hearing and knowing the truth. It is through the Holy Spirit attesting to it and constantly doing what the Holy Spirit does, which is remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus in everything we do. Transforming us in love, not by what we do, but by what God does for us and in us, because it is always His way to have mercy, and the mercy of God will guide us to love Him far better than the law of God could ever do. And so the law is in our hearts. The great high priest has made the sacrifice for us, and he has given us the Spirit, and the prophecy of Jeremiah has come true. And that's this meal as well. This Passover meal, right? The Passover is God's deliverance of his people from slavery and bondage, the promise and the call out of it, and what he's done for them that Christ said is about me. This bread and this wine are my body and my blood, and they are a means of grace and a gift of glory. And through faith and our hearts lifted up, we meet Christ. And so let us carry with us that grace. Let us carry with us the confidence, what God has done for us. And let us continue to let God transform these wild hearts and these wild emotions that can go after everything in the world and can confuse us so much. Let God come in and grab those and align them with Him so that we can have a heart of love for God.